334, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRBA. Tuesday. It is a glorious Tuesday. My sincere hope is that you are listening while seated outside. 75 degrees, low humidity. This is like Central Virginia weather at the best. So enjoy it today because it's going to start heating up again in the not-too-distant future. We got a lot of stuff that we are dealing with today. I do want to remind you, either next week or the week after, I keep forgetting this, but Bill O'Reilly will be back. We haven't chatted with O'Reilly in a while. So I'm looking forward to that. Our pal John Reed from the morning is actually headed out to Chicago. I think he's leaving tomorrow, and we'll be checking in with him once he's out there. You know what the official line is, right? Kamala Harris is on fire. There's nobody that can beat her. Donald Trump is just down in the dumps, and he's down in the numbers, and that's it. Come on, forget about it. You guys on the conservative side of things, you don't even need to vote. It's all done. They're just drilling it into our head that Kamala Harris is just on fire. I mean, that she's just doing everything right. Well, if you've not answered a question, what is it, 30 days now since they handed her the nomination? They selected her. They didn't elect her. They selected her. And she's had 30 days with no real questions. Yeah, all right. Now, I will tell you, over at the Daily Caller, Mary Rook, who is a great writer, has been with us before, has a piece that I really found very, very interesting. Because she says, you know what? Behind the scenes, there are people that know the vice president is not doing nearly as well as we are being led to believe. Mary, thank you for being here.
Hi, thanks so much for having me on. I appreciate it.
Oh, absolutely. It's good to have you with us again. So give everybody the lay of the land here. Your piece says, don't get too despondent. Behind the curtain, the Democrats aren't thrilled with Kamala Harris.
No, I mean, look at the first day of the DNC. Not even just the first day. The day before it all started, you had, you know, thousands of people in the streets chanting about Kamala Harris being a party to genocide in Gaza, how Biden was, you know, being a part of this genocide that's going on in Gaza, and, you know, they're killers, and you can't support them, and you shouldn't be voting for them, and you have all of this chaos, and you think, okay, this is going to really start kicking off. And sure enough, yesterday, the first day of the DNC, they had to deploy the police officers out there to try and, you know, squelch all of the chaos going on outside of the DNC. They're arresting people. They're advancing into the walled fences of the DNC convention. I mean, it was a really wild day yesterday. And then you looked at it and, you know, it took a while for the stadium to fill up, and it took a while for people to get excited about it. Although if you listen to CNN or ABC or any of the mainstream news stations, they tell you it's electric in here. It feels like electricity is just going through everyone. And can you believe all the joy that you're feeling in this room right now? Mm-hmm. When in reality, it was chaos. It was, you know, there was dissent in the ranks. You had, you had it going late. Joe Biden was kicked off the primetime spot. He ended up being pushed way late into the night. You could tell that he was overexhausted by the fact that he was screaming the entire time during his speech. And then he ended it with the lies of all lies about Charlottesville. So, you know, it's not a great showing for the Democrats to have such chaos and confusion going on. But as we all know, the propaganda and the regime media, they're going to cover for them and make it seem like it's not that big of a deal. But the funny thing that I've noticed is, I don't know if you've seen these videos of Don Lemon going out and doing these man-on-the-street interviews. Well, he's in Chicago right now for the DNC, and he posted a recent video of him going and asking female voters in Chicago, who are they going to vote for, Donald Trump or Kamala Harris? And he had several black female voters on his video saying that they are 100% going to go out and vote for Donald Trump this year because they need change, they're not doing well, they don't. One woman said she doesn't like the fact that Kamala Harris is constantly laughing at the plight of Americans who are struggling in their economy. And so I think that it would be wrong to get despondent. I think it would be wrong to count Trump out. He always does a lot better than the polling suggests. And the fact that when you look at the, you know, bottom line of most of these polling that has come out, you see that they're heavily skewed towards the Democratic Party. So you have all of these, you know, kind of plus 10 dim pollings that are coming out. And it's, of course, it's going to show Kamala Harris up 5%. Of course, it's going to show her doing better with independents and better with women and all of these things because they're polling more Democratic voters than they are anything else.
Well, you know, the other part of this, Mary, and you raised such great points, and I would urge everybody to head to dailycaller.com. Check out Mary's writing. It's always great stuff. There are a couple of things when it comes to polling that we've seen in the past. As you rightly point out, these outfits are absolutely oversampling Democrats, no question about it. You also have people who have been cowed into fear that they would say that they're voting for Donald Trump, right? So they keep it to themselves. I think there are a lot of Trump voters who would never tell anybody that they're voting for Trump. You also have that old Bradley effect from California, where there are going to be people who are asked the question, say, oh my gosh, do I want to be that person who says, well, I'm not going to vote for the first black female candidate. No, yes, of course I'm voting for Kamala Harris. So there are a lot more factors that go into this than just a straight out, hey, Mary, are you voting? Jeff, are you voting? Right? I mean, there's all sorts of pieces of wiggle room.
Absolutely. And, you know, not to bring it back to Don Lemon's videos again, but actually one of the women in there apologized before she admitted that she was voting for Trump. And he asked her, why are you apologizing? And she said, I know a lot of people don't like him, but I do think that he'll be better for the country. And it's that type of mentality that I think, you know, makes a lot of people fearful to come out and say, oh, I'm voting for Donald Trump. And that's why, you know, I like to look at polling from places like Rasmussen, who have traditionally been able to poll Trump well. And they're still showing Trump up in a national poll by like 1 or 2% right now. And Trump doesn't even have to be up in the national poll for him to be able to win the Electoral College vote. And so if he's even close to Kamala Harris in this national polling, then that has good signs for him Electoral Collegely.
Absolutely. Mary Rook is joining us. Mary's a wonderful writer. You find her work over at Daily Caller, dailycaller.com. What about down ballot, Mary? Have you looked at any of that, the House and the Senate races? That was apparently what really motivated the Nancy Pelosi, Obama types to push Biden right out of the way. They were worried about devastating results for the House and the Senate.
Yeah, I thought it was really interesting last night when the press caught up to Biden on the tarmac, and he essentially admitted that the reason why he stepped down, he tried to claim no one forced me out, even though we know Nancy Pelosi and the Obamas had their hand in it. He tried to, you know, claim it was all his decision. But the most interesting line in that is that he said that he didn't want his campaign to drag down any House and Senate races. And so that clearly means that the Republicans are at play in a lot of these races. And we saw that whenever Trump went to Montana, everyone kept going, why is Trump going to Montana? It's such a red state. Why would he travel over there? And it's because there's a very, you know, close race over there in Montana where the Republicans can pick up a seat. And so I think that whenever you're looking at these down ballot races, I think Trump is going to help a lot of these races, whereas I think Kamala Harris is actually going to have the opposite effect where it's going to hurt them. And I think that you'll see an interesting shift in the national narrative soon, especially, you know, by the time we get to October, where a lot of these national news outlets will start talking about down ballot races, close Senate races, close House races, kind of pushing up the get out the vote campaign for, you know, your House and Senate races. So I think that that's going to be a very interesting thing to watch. From what I'm seeing, there's a really good chance Republicans keep control of the House, and there might even be a slim chance the Republicans take over the Senate. Now, that's, you know, still a long shot right now, but there is a chance. So I think the most important message, obviously, is to get out and vote, because if you don't vote, then it doesn't happen.
What about the cover-ups? Because I look at the media, and I suppose good, bad, or indifferent, I am technically part of the media and have been for about 3 decades. I've never been more embarrassed by a coordinated cover-up for a candidate. It to me, the legacy news media people, if they had any shame, would be hanging their heads right now instead of laughing like Kamala Harris about not having had the chance to ask her a question for a solid month.
Absolutely. You know, and it's not just one candidate, it's all three of them. The way they've covered up for Biden, the way they've covered up for Kamala, the way they've covered up for now Tim Walz. We're looking at three candidates who have lied about several things, several very important things, like who's running the country right now. The scary option is that there are things that President Biden is still in charge of, and then this even scarier option is that we have no idea who the figurehead is that is pulling the strings. Mm-hmm. And so then you look at Kamala Harris, how they, you know, covered up for her role as the border czar, and, you know, her role going over into Europe and talking about Ukraine joining NATO, and, you know, how that kicks off the Russia-Ukraine war, and all these things that have happened. And then now we have Tim Walz in the picture, and we have him, you know, lying about his service in the military, claiming that he went and served in Iraq when he didn't. And then the craziest lie that has been uncovered today is the one where he has claimed several times that him and his wife used IVF to be able to have their children. And it comes out that his wife actually didn't need IVF to be able to have their children. And so, but the mainstream media, the New York Times, who broke this piece, essentially didn't exactly cover up, but didn't exactly admit that Tim Walz lied in the piece. And so, and that's how they do it. They try and make it seem like it's not that big of a deal. But you have to take these politicians and you have to look at them. Who would you rather support? Is it someone who you already know their moral feelings, but understand that, you know, policy-wise, their policies are going to be great for America, or the ones who have this, you know, clear veneer on top of them that makes them look like they're this shiny new toy, but in reality, their policies are devastating for Americans? And so I think that that's, you know, what's going on here. And you know, like you said, I'm also part of the media, and sometimes I don't exactly like to admit it because it has a bad connotation these days. But I feel like I'm one of the, you know, at least trying to be one of the good guys, the ones that's coming out and, you know, helping people be more informed rather than just covering up for a politician because I like them. I think that it's important to have that type of mentality with going into it. But these mainstream media outlets, they're just, you know, they're like the mob in the 1930s. It's just exactly absolutely, there's nothing but bullying from them.
That's exactly right. Well, Mary, you are one of the good ones. I'm going to tell you that right now. It's why I enjoy reading you at the Daily Caller. It's why I'm always happy when you've got some time for us, joining us on the air. DailyCaller.com is where everybody should go and read you. What about your social media presence? Where should they look for you?
You can find me on Twitter at @MaryRook_. And, you know, I try and post all my pieces on there, too, so people can go check that out. So that's at Mary Rook, R-O-O-K-E _.
Fair enough. Mary, I appreciate you being here. I look forward to chatting again soon. That is Mary Rook. She's a great, great writer. You find her work at The Daily Caller, all right? DailyCaller.com. And absolutely sign up to follow her over on X. While you're over there, make sure you sign up to follow Jeff Katz's show as well. Jeff Katz's show. I try to get all of our stories out before we even hit the air, and that way you are a little bit ahead of the rest of the gang. 3:46, Jeff Katz, News Radio.